Welcome to my mommy's podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by Nutrition Genome. This is the most comprehensive genetic analysis on the market. They cover 85 plus clinically relevant genes across all of the major biochemical pathways. And what that means is they're testing all the important things that can actually make an epigenetic difference for you. The test also includes a 50 plus page report that really goes in depth and gives feedback on your personal gene function and how to enhance your own gene expression. The analysis also provides foods that are best to emphasize and minimize, talks about toxins you're more likely to be sensitive to, your genetic stress response, and even recommended blood work to optimize your genetic blueprint for long-lasting health and longevity. This testing doesn't have the privacy concerns that some of the other popular genetic tests have, and we just did this with all of our children. The results have been really helpful for customizing their diets and supplements, and basically for our whole family. I kind of took everybody's results and found the common denominators of food, and we start there now with our shopping list each week. You can check it out and learn more and get the test at wellnessmama.com/go/nutrition-genome. That will also be in the podcast show notes at wellnessmama.fm for this episode. But one more time, that's wellnessmama.com/go/nutrition-genome, G-E-N-O-M-E. This podcast is brought to you by Four Sigmatic. My kitchen is always stocked with their coffee mushroom blends, their matcha mix, and their straight mushroom drinks. Four Sigmatic has figured out how to get the benefits of mushrooms like chaga, lion's mane, cordyceps, and reishi into delicious instant drinks. My current favorite is their adaptogen coffee blend that has tulsi and astragalus, but I love all of their products. They have options with or without caffeine, so if you're not a caffeine person, you can find products that you'll love. And I find that even their coffee blends that do contain caffeine have less than a normal cup of coffee, but don't let this fool you. I have found I get so much more focus and mental clarity from these mushroom blends than I do from regular coffee and without the jitters. The addition of the mushrooms, which are considered nootropics, meaning that they are good for the brain, makes these superfood blends more effective and much healthier than just regular old coffee. I love them with a dash of macadamia milk personally. I also love that many of their drink mixes are instant and packaged into individual servings, so they're perfect for travel or on the go. If you're listening to this, then you can get a special offer just for listeners of this podcast by going to wellnessmama.com/go/FOUR-SIGMATIC. That's wellnessmama.com/go/4-sigmatic. Hello and welcome to the Healthy Moms Podcast. I'm Katie from wellnessmama.com, and I'm here today with Dr. Marianne Pruitt, who is a functional medicine physician and gynecologist at healthwellnessmd.com in Dallas, Texas. She knows that your quality of life is as important as your symptoms, especially as you age. And we're going to be talking about a lot of really cool anti-aging science and hormone balance today. Her protocol emphasizes science-based nutrition, physician-guided fitness, laser medicine, thyroid management, and optimizing hormones for sexual health and wellness. She believes, and I love this, in aging proactively, not just gracefully, and she offers solutions to help people do just that. She augments functional medicine with the emerging fields of precision medicine and age management to treat the patient as a whole, and her approach goes far beyond simply prevention to optimizing the body at a cellular level for any age. I know it's going to be a super packed episode. One note before we jump in, for any parents listening with kids, that we are going to be touching on some natural ways to improve sexual health problems, so use your own judgment for sure if you have kids listening, if they want to listen to this episode or not. Dr. Pruitt, welcome and thanks for being here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I think it's going to be a very helpful episode. And like I said, I want to jump right in. I'd love to hear, to start, kind of what you're seeing as some of the biggest problems, because you see a lot of patients. What are some of the biggest things women are coming into you for these days? Is it thyroid or hormone? What seemed to be kind of on the rise?
Absolutely. Thyroid is an epidemic right now in the United States. Approximately about 70 to 80% of people have secondary hypothyroidism due to nutritional problems. It seems that our food just does not have the nutrients in it that it used to. So we are now astronauts on planet Earth, and we must take supplements. And those supplements should be medical grade and not over-the-counter supplements.
That's awesome. So what are some of the things that, I know that obviously it depends very much on the person when you're working with them individually, but what are some of the things that you see kind of really help women in those situations?
Optimizing their thyroid, getting their nutrition set. The thyroid is a huge influence and indicator in optimizing our sexuality. Sexual intimacy is key to a man and woman and is so much more important than is talked about. I'm very comfortable. I get teased. I'm the queen of the pelvic floor. But it really, intimacy in a relationship, it just changes the dynamics of a lifetime.
That makes sense. And I know, like, firsthand, because I have Hashimoto's as well, that managing it correctly can make a complete, like, night and day difference in how you feel. And I would assume also, I'm still pretty young, but that it would also really make a difference in aging. Because when you have any hormone out of balance like that, that would affect how fast your cells age. Is that right?
Yes. And what I'm seeing in my clinic is we absolutely have to balance all the hormones. The top five are taking care of your thyroid first. Optimizing testosterone and estrogen in men and women. And a lot of women aren't familiar that we need our testosterone as well. Testosterone in both men and women prevents dementia, lowers heart disease, lowers breast cancer, lowers prostate cancer, and we build much stronger bones. In addition, our estrogen, our progestin, and our adrenals all need to be addressed. And only about 20% of physicians really address the thyroid in a correct manner. One of our problems is our lab parameters that report out when we do a blood profile and give it to our patients. Those are not optimal levels. A physician really needs to do continuing medical education. I'm a big fan of the A4M meeting to make sure that we are bringing cutting edge medicine without using medicine to our patients instead of waiting for 40 to 50 years before it filters through medical schools, through residencies and into clinical practice. And that is a huge problem in American healthcare. We rank 28th in the world in healthiness, and yet we spend the most.
Yeah, that statistic has always blown my mind, just because I've seen it along with birth statistics as well as a doula. Same thing there. We spend so much more money than the rest of the world, which does not tend to be paying off, apparently, or at least not the things that most doctors are doing. And I love that you talk not just about aging gracefully, but aging proactively. So I'd love to hear your approach for this and when someone comes in, kind of what you're looking at, because I come from a nutritional background. So my focus has always been choosing sources of very nutrient-rich whole foods and supporting the body from the inside out, but you get a lot more scientific and targeted. So can you talk about your approach to, as you call it, aging proactively?
Yes. In order to age proactively, the newest science out is actually the longevity diet, which Dr. Longo out in California optimized. And from a very young age, he coined a new science called juventology, and it's the study of youth. So how can we keep our cells youthful and preserve our DNA and protect it from many insults, from the foods we consume to toxins in our environment and to lack of health from poor physician counseling? So I approach it the same way he does. I assure exercise is essential. Nutrition is essential. Sexuality is essential, and it's so underserved. And once women get through childbirth, they tend to neglect the obligation that we have to our significant other to maintain a sexual wellness. And for a man to have sexual health, the prostate, he must have intercourse a minimum of 3 times a week. And that has been published in Mayo Clinic's literature. So I'm a big fan of educating my women that it is so very important if they love their spouse. To be very active sexually and to help and assist each other in maintaining their sexual wellness. And many people don't know that your sexuality can be optimized. This goes from patients to providers. Many people are suffering needlessly, causing shame in both men and women, and hormone optimization has been contributed to our longevity. Women suffer from consequences of childbirth, illness, injury, physical or emotional, and the pelvic floor can be rejuvenated in both men and women. Men lose their pelvic floor integrity because aging, sports injury. Many people don't know that men who are cyclists have chronic crushing of their blood vessels that lead to erectile dysfunction or poor performance. Also, toxins from war vets, illnesses, and weight gain. And also, probably my favorite part of taking care of people is that I teach them the many benefits of laser and energy medicine for maintaining sexual health that are largely unknown and underutilized. There are many very non-invasive and natural alternative surgery and medicine. For example, incontinence affects approximately 80% of women, and men get benign prostatic hypertrophy that causes them to have urinary frequency. There are medical devices that we can use that absolutely cure incontinence.
That's amazing, because you hear the jokes, especially women who have had children, about how they, you know, can't jump on a trampoline without peeing themselves, or just, you hear those jokes pretty often among women who have given birth. And I know I hear a lot of questions from women with pelvic floor issues or incontinence post-pregnancy. And I know, so you mentioned you touched on a couple of these, but I'd love to go a little bit deeper, because I feel like this is a kind of touchy subject, and it's not one that women will just talk about quite as much in their social circles. Like, we're pretty good about talking about our hair care and our skin care. All those things are pretty good open topics, but this is not one that women talk about often. So I think it's an important one to touch on. So when a woman maybe has had several children or even one child and is having incontinence or pelvic floor issues, what are you looking for when she comes in, and how are you addressing that?
Only about 20% of patients will respond. And even if you ask them, they won't always be honest with you. So I give them statistics. You know, 25% of women under 25 don't play volleyball or sports that require them to jump. So I always ask them, what sports did you play in high school? And then I ask them how frequently they're sexually active. And then I tell them the normal statistics. And then when they give me their statistics, I ask, well, why do you shy away from intimacy? And you wouldn't believe it, but a lot of the complaints are that they feel after they've had a baby, they're embarrassed, that they feel less sensations. They don't want their spouse to know that they're not having orgasms. And also, they want more sensation. They lose their sensitivity. And that's where the Gaines wave increases sensitivity in both men and women. And that's a medical device that increases blood flow to the pelvic floor. It reinstitutes spontaneity between a man and woman, increases sensitivity in both the men and women. So we have a Gaines wave for men, a Femi wave for women. It also increases angiogenesis. So new blood flow comes to the pelvic floor in both men and women. The penis actually increases in girth and length. And it's a long-term solution rather than short-term. And male pelvic floor health and rejuvenation is just as important as female pelvic floor health and rejuvenation. And we use laser, energy-based medicine, and medical devices to optimize as well as rejuvenate the pelvic floor.
So what does that process look like? Is it pretty non-invasive as far as not surgical at all? And what's the recovery like for that?
There is no recovery. There is no downtime. It takes about 20 minutes, and it's acoustic sound waves that we trace over the skin using an ultrasound gel, just like most women have experienced when they have their ultrasound when they're pregnant. And we place these sound waves in packets of 3,000 units to the areas where the blood flow is most capacious. And what a lot of people don't realize is that 70% of men are going to have heart disease. Well, the coronary arteries in the heart are no different than the arteries in the penis. So if you have coronary artery disease, you are absolutely going to have erectile dysfunction. And it's preventable. And I even offer an executive male physical as well as a physical for females who have had children or are having problems, in which we do a preventative Gaines wave or a Femi wave to prevent these kinds of things from happening.
That's fascinating. And I know I've heard that statistic about the higher correlation of heart disease and ED, but it makes sense. And since we've touched on that, I know I get also a lot of questions from women whose husbands are struggling with ED. And I know that there are we see all the commercials, a lot of different treatment options, but they seem to have a list of side effects as long as my arm. So can you talk about, let's go deeper on ED. What are the root causes? And what are these other therapies? And are they even effective? Or would Gaines Wave be much more safe and effective alternative?
Yeah, let's start out with natural remedies. Everyone's heard about ginseng. It's got an anti-inflammatory blood flow increase. There's rhodiola, rosea, and that increases energy and reduces fatigue because ED is more common as we age. Then there's the African yohimbe tree. It increases blood flow, but the heart rate can also be increased in the blood pressure, so that's negative. There's ashwagandha, that is excellent for maintaining brain health, and zinc and ginkgo biloba, which all have been reported to have some effect on ED. However, if we don't address the cause. It doesn't matter what we give you. So I'm a very big believer in, I am not a traditional physician or a conventional physician that treats symptoms. I want to home in and go right to the cause. So on men, four issues, as well as to women, that cause sexual dysfunction or lack of optimization is, one, their thyroid has to be optimized, because the thyroid is your master hormone. And if your thyroid is not working at its maximum capacity, you're going to have decreased production of estrogen and testosterone, which is going to lead to poor performance in both a man and woman, vaginal dryness in a woman, and a man who can't engorge to the full amount to maintain and permit penetration. The third thing is obviously your testosterone level. The best kept secret in the world is Dr. Pruitt knows how to get every man to make his own testosterone if he follows my program and the nutritional benefits. Women's testosterone starts falling at age 21. Men, it starts falling at age 30. So I tell my women who are in their 30s to start now working on sexual health to prevent the huge inconvenience and embarrassment of ED. Women love their husbands, but they really crave the intimacy and penetration, and that can't happen. And then fourth is the Gaines wave for men. The Femi wave, and I also do a Femi lift. The Femi lift goes inside the vagina, and we actually rejuvenate the vagina and put that boa constrictor back into the pelvic floor.
Wow, so I didn't know that testosterone started declining that early, and that's really staggering. I have read that, for instance, men today have like a third of the testosterone of probably their great-great-grandfathers, just because there's so many lifestyle factors that seem to be leading to a decline.
That is absolutely true. And I'll give you some statistics. If a man has a testosterone under 300, he's at risk for depression and erectile dysfunction starts accelerating. If a man's testosterone is under 600, all-cause mortality increases, type 2 diabetes, fatigue, libido loss, and acceleration of coronary artery disease. And if a man's testosterone is under 900, we have rapid progression of dementia, Alzheimer's disease, aggressive prostate cancer in men. And if women's testosterone is below 150 to 250, all of those things that I mentioned occur in her. And metabolic syndrome and osteoporosis is 100% preventable if we maintain our testosterone level. It also, our testosterone being optimized and our thyroid being optimized helps fight the crisis in the United States, which is obesity. 70% of our population is obese. And I tell my patient, and it soothes them quite a bit, it's not your fault that you're obese and that you've got diabetes and you've got hypertension. It's your physician's fault, because we are not doing the state-of-the-art blood test across the board. Only about 19 to 20% of physicians truly understand thyroid and hormones, and it is killing America.
I absolutely agree with you on that. It took me years and years and multiple doctors to find someone who actually understood the thyroid. And I'm really curious. I know that you have a whole system, and we'll definitely have a link to your website in the show notes for anyone who wants to come visit you. But can you talk about some of the things that you do lifestyle-wise, and you mentioned nutrition, to help address that testosterone? Because I think most people have kind of a passing understanding, but I know a lot of people have turned to hormone replacement, which has some serious risk associated with it, from what I understand.
And that, you, like many, many women and men, are basing your decisions on myths and not the latest technology. Hormone replacement therapy in men and women is mission critical. It prevents dementia, lowers heart disease, lowers breast cancer, lowers prostate cancer, and osteoporosis doesn't exist. So hormone replacement therapy in pellet form has been around since 1939. And it is proven to not only prevent breast cancer and prostate cancer, but to lower the recurrence rate and lower dementia. I think everyone should visit a provider who does the BioT hormone replacement pellets and get the right information, because the news and the media, they're just trying to sell their publications, and they want hype, they want scare, they want fear. I never once, when I'm sitting watching the news, hear anything about health and nutrition and anything about the real skinny on life and hormone replacement therapy for women is a must, or you will not live long and you will have many, many diseases that could absolutely be prevented. So I base my care of all of my patients first in nutrition, second in nutraceuticals. Nutraceuticals are medical grade vitamins and minerals that are very pure and used in research. Then I insist on an exercise program. Unlike our traditional exercise program, they're based on strength training, injury to joints, pounding away. There is a new technology of exercise, which is called muscle activation technique. They basically isolate the weakest muscles in your body. So the majority of women will die with a rotator cuff tear because they've never developed their deltoid and their triceps. So there's no stability to the rotator cuff tear. The number two injury in men and women is lower back injury. And the best cardio in the world is a rowing machine because it's low stress to all joints and it exercises every muscle in your body. And you can interval train on it. So that is very, very critical.
That makes sense. And I think you're right. I think that's something that all of us should be addressing probably much more than many of us are. And that's interesting too, because I had definitely heard some of those statistics about hormone replacement. I know there are different types as well. You'd want to go, I'm assuming, bioidentical versus are there some that are dangerous out there, that like products that are kind of marketed to increase testosterone? Are there ones to be wary of?
Yes, I do not like using Viagra. It's a temporary solution. It eliminates spontaneity. Pharmaceutical hormone replacement therapies do not treat anything but vaginal dryness and hot flashes. They are never become therapeutic to the levels that they need to be. And in terms of medications, I much prefer to use human identical. I do not do any bioidentical.
Got it. That's good to know. I'll make sure we note that in the show notes. And you said BioT hormone pellets. Is that the one that you typically?
Yes.
Very cool. What other lifestyle factors do you feel like really come into play here? Do you do a nutritional component as well? And if so, like, what kind of things are you focusing on? I'm sure there's a personalized aspect as well, but just for those who are listening, what kind of things would you address there?
In terms of nutrients?
Yeah, just from a nutritional perspective. That's my background, so I'm always fascinated to hear.
From a nutritional background, I place all my patients on iodine. Your thyroid is producing a hormone that is a pro-hormone, T4, and that's tyrosine and 4-iodines. 74% of the population is iodine deficient. Iodine also cleans the receptors off on your cells so that when I optimize your free T3, which is the active hormone, it has a place to land. So I explain it to my patients, it's much like sending some supplies up to the space shuttle. If that lock is obliterated by the meteorite, there's nothing that's going to happen. So chloride in our water, fluoride in our toothpaste and mouthwash, and bromide in bread, makeup, hair coloring, they permanently block your free T3 receptors. And that's why we exponentially age. When we're 30, we age 3 years in one. By the time we're 70, we're aging 7 years in one. The other supplement I use is omega-3. DIM. DIM is diindomethane. It is the phytonutrient that's in cruciferous vegetables, and it works by three ways. One, it is anti-inflammatory. All disease starts with inflammation. So if I have someone with a very bad LDL, small particle cholesterol, if they don't have any inflammation in their heart, they're never going to get coronary artery disease. So every cardiologist should make sure that their patient's testosterone is therapeutic, 9 to 1100 in men, 150 to 250 in women, and that they take DIM once or twice a day, and that their vitamin D level is at 100. A lot of doctors are happy with vitamin D levels below 60. All patients that have heart attacks have a vitamin D level below 60. The other supplement I use is a probiotic. The probiotics that people buy over the counter at Whole Foods are not protected from the hydrochloric acid in our stomachs. So we lose up to 90% of that probiotic. Probiotics have been shown to decrease neurologic diseases, MS, dementia. A happy gut is a happy brain. So we all need a probiotic. 80% of the population is vitamin A, D, K2 deficient. So I have all my patients on that. I also have a very good multivitamin. And as I mentioned before, I encourage ashwagandha for brain health and blood flow. I use Mariva, which is very pure, highly intense in turmeric, which is a wonderful anti-cancer. For sleep, I usually use progesterone, Prometrium. It does have peanut oil in it, so we have to be careful with our patients with peanut allergy, but it is beautiful for sleep. It also works in conjunction with testosterone to prevent dementia and also to lower the risk of breast cancer. We use a Thorne product. It is their highest grade of multivitamins and minerals. And then I use an assortment of other supplements. Lipocardia is something that people can take for a month, and it actually naturally lowers their LDL cholesterol without lowering their HDL cholesterol. I have great objection to statins because they actually decrease our cholesterol levels so low. And what a lot of people don't realize, your brain is cholesterol and fat. So a lot of doctors dangerously lower. I have patients that brag to me that their LDL is 50. I educate them that they're more than likely going to have dementia very quickly.
I love that you brought that up because I'm definitely a science geek. And so I read a lot of things on PubMed and just look at correlations. And that was one thing I noticed years ago is that especially in women, but men too, that statins seem to actually not have the intended effect. They do lower cholesterol, but then you would see those women with higher rates of all kinds of problems after that. And that statistically, if you graph it, having high cholesterol for women, if it's in the right ratios, was actually correlated with longer life, whereas reducing it too much was correlated with an early death. Have you seen that as well?
Absolutely. That is 100% true.
Wow. And I love that. I love everything that you just said. And I made a ton of notes that'll be in the show notes. This podcast is brought to you by Nutrition Genome. This is the most comprehensive genetic analysis on the market. They cover 85 plus clinically relevant genes across all of the major biochemical pathways. And what that means is they're testing all the important things that can actually make an epigenetic difference for you. The test also includes a 50 plus page report that really goes in depth and gives feedback on your personal gene function and how to enhance your own gene expression. The analysis also provides foods that are best to emphasize and minimize, talks about toxins you're more likely to be sensitive to, your genetic stress response, and even recommended blood work to optimize your genetic blueprint for long-lasting health and longevity. This testing doesn't have the privacy concerns that some of the other popular genetic tests have, and we just did this with all of our children. The results have been really helpful for customizing their diets and supplements, and basically for our whole family. I kind of took everybody's results and found the common denominator of food, and we start there now with our shopping list each week. You can check it out and learn more and get the test at wellnessmama.com/go/nutrition-genome. That will also be in the podcast show notes at wellnessmama.fm for this episode. But one more time, that's wellnessmama.com/go/nutrition-genome, G-E-N-O-M-E. This podcast is brought to you by Four Sigmatic. My kitchen is always stocked with their coffee mushroom blends, their matcha mix, and their straight mushroom drinks. Four Sigmatic has figured out how to get the benefits of mushrooms like chaga, lion's mane, cordyceps, and reishi into delicious instant drinks. My current favorite is their adaptogen coffee blend that has tulsi and astragalus, but I love all of their products. They have options with or without caffeine, so if you're not a caffeine person, you can find products that you'll love. And I find that even their coffee blends that do contain caffeine have less than a normal cup of coffee, but don't let this fool you. I have found I get so much more focus and mental clarity from these mushroom blends than I do from regular coffee and without the jitters. The addition of the mushrooms, which are considered nootropics, meaning that they are good for the brain, makes these superfood blends more effective and much healthier than just regular old coffee. I love them with a dash of macadamia milk personally. I also love that many of their drink mixes are instant and packaged into individual servings, so they're perfect for travel or on the go. If you're listening to this, then you can get a special offer just for listeners of this podcast by going to wellnessmama.com/go/FOUR-SIGMATIC. That's wellnessmama.com/go/4-sigmatic. I love that you also talked about vitamin D being above 100, because not only do a lot of doctors think like 30 to 60 is great, they're actually afraid of higher vitamin D levels. But like you said, there's so much research on that. I'll link to a few studies that I've seen about it, but truly it's correlated. Having optimal vitamin D levels is correlated with health in so many different areas. I think that's vital. I love that you address that. What metric are you testing for vitamin D? Because I know there's a couple different tests.
Blood.
Okay. So the like hydroxy, the blood hydroxy?
Yes. D3.
Awesome. And could you talk a little bit more about, you mentioned Viagra in passing, but I know that's a common solution, that, and there's a few others as well that are similar. And we see those commercials all the time. They're in every magazine and they're definitely like presented as if there's no problems with them and they're great for you. But you kind of alluded to there being some longer term problems with taking those. So can you just touch on those and why someone might want to think twice before they take them?
Yeah, Cialis and Viagra are probably the most popular ones. They're incredibly expensive, and men do report lots of side effects with them. Headaches, erections sustained for a long period of time, and just the mental stigmata that comes with him needing to take a little pill and wait 30 minutes. So again, pharmaceuticals should be avoided at all costs, especially when we have natural remedies. It's the same as when women have urinary incontinence. Doctors start with medications that cause dry mouth, dry eyes, dry vagina, and slings that don't last for a long time. When we have a medical advice that cures 99% of women, but that's not on the TV, the blue pill is.
Yeah, exactly. Or the, I know there's the pelvic floor mesh that was popular for a while, and now there's all these lawsuits related to it. And that seems so much more invasive as well. To me, this would seem like a no-brainer to try something more natural, like addressing diet and lifestyle and also like Gainswave long before you'd be willing to go through surgery. So I love that you're spreading the word about these kind of options.
Absolutely. And I'm a gynecologist. I did my fair share of meshes when I discovered medical devices and optimizing the hormones in the body. I have not had one failure from urinary incontinence. I had a fourth degree tear. When I delivered my baby, I had only one child, and I would have to put a tampon in my rectum and my vagina to be able to go to yoga class. And this device has cured me. So from hands-on, been there, done that.
Wow, that is astounding. And is there, I know this is a newer technology, but is there research supporting the Gainswave research or the Gainswave technique as well?
Yes, there's lots and lots of literature in the Gainswave in men, and there is some literature of Gainswave in Europe. I am getting ready to start a clinical trial on the FemiWave and publish some data, but the science is inarguable. Women, 1 in 3 women postmenopausal will die of heart disease. 1 in 7 premenopausal women will die of heart disease. 68% of men are going to die of heart disease. Therefore, we all have plaque in our pelvic floor. And the Gainswave and the FemiWave inarguably are going to improve sexual health, causing increased blood flow. And uniquely in women, as a gynecologist, I'm comfortable using the FemiWave internally. I don't recommend that doctors who are not skilled in the pelvic floor do that. But many of us women have undergone episiotomies and we have multiple scar tissue in the vagina. So this is beautiful. It breaks down scar tissue. It also helps treat pelvic inflammatory disorders like the diseases of endometriosis, potentially sciatica and hip pain. A lot of women get sciatica. And so there's just so many applications for the FemiWave in women as well as in men.
I love it. And how are the results long lasting? Like, is it something that people have to do forever, or can it be done in like a treatment protocol for a certain amount of time and then the results last? Or how does that typically work?
Again, I individualize it based on each person's history, pelvic trauma, sports history, and their sexual history. So a man who cannot have an erection and hasn't had an erection spontaneously in years is going to need approximately 12 Gainswave treatments. They can do 2 a week for a 6-week period. I have men that fly in and I'll do them Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and they fly out because they don't live in the area. If a man can have an erection spontaneously, but maybe is still a little flaccid and penetration and satisfaction of his partner is a little bit trying, he might only need 2 treatments a week for 3 weeks. Women, depending on endometriosis, pelvic history, episiotomies, those kinds of things, it really needs to be tailored to each individual woman.
That's awesome. I love that. And like I said, I will make sure that we link to your website. You're in Texas, I believe, and a lot of listeners are in Texas as well, so people can find you directly. And I'll also link to, I believe I found blog posts on your site explaining all the different technologies that you guys have and how they work. So for anyone who has follow-up questions about that, any other advice that, or suggestions that you want to leave the listeners with before we end today?
Yeah. Laser technology is so outstanding and it is underutilized. Example, the Femi Lift. That's internal vaginal rejuvenation along the entire length of the vaginal canal. And so few women know about it. So few men know about preventative measures. And I guess the best thing I can say is we all need to concentrate on our nutritional health, our physical health, our physical fitness, and our sexual health. It's multifactorial, and also our spiritual health. And a lot of our spiritual health comes from the feelings and the gratitude and the satisfaction that we experience during intimacy. Intimacy is not well spoken of. As yourself made a disclaimer that we're going to be talking about things. I write in Modern Lux magazine in Dallas every month, and I actually use the words penis and vagina because we all have to talk about it. That's their names. Too long, sexuality has been soiled by pornography. And I think it's time to really get out there and talk about this. And we have an obligation to keep ourselves sexually healthy for our significant other or our spouse.
I 100% agree. And from a mom's perspective, I would say along that line, but earlier on, I think it's even important to teach our kids the correct terms early on, and that they, so they don't have any shame in talking about it, because for one, like, they're going to go through changes in those parts and they need to be able to talk about it if they feel like they should. And also, there's so much data on it helps protect your children from situations where they are more likely to be molested or have sexual trauma if they know the correct words, because that's one of the things that a lot of perpetrators look for, because if the kids don't know the correct term, they're more less likely to be able to report it. So I think that's an important life lesson. I love that you touched on that, and one that we can start early in life with our kids by modeling, good health and good knowledge around those areas, and not being afraid to use those words and making them a commonplace, non-shame related thing. I think that's so important. I love that you brought that up.
Yeah, I actually have hired a dear friend and colleague. She's a PhD in writing, and she and I, she's Dr. Amy Schultz, she and I want to get literature out there. We've talked years about writing books for different age groups addressing sexuality throughout life. And I think that's a great tool for a lot of parents who feel awkward going there. And I think it's very, very important that education starts young.
Absolutely. And like I said, all the things that you mentioned will be linked in the show notes at wellnessmama.fm. Your website is healthwellnessmd.com for anyone who wants to find you directly. But Dr. Pruitt, thank you so much for being here. I love that you are taking on these topics and that you are having such amazing results with men and women in a very non-invasive way. I love that the technology is bringing all these things into common use. So thank you so much for your time and for your research.
You're welcome. And our team thanks you for the invitation, and give us a call anytime.
Thank you. And thanks to all of you for listening. And I hope to see you next week on the Healthy Moms Podcast. If you're enjoying these interviews, would you please take 2 minutes to leave a rating or review on iTunes for me? Doing this helps more people to find the podcast, which means even more moms and families can benefit from the information. I really appreciate your time. And thanks as always for listening.